Okay, first of all, I apologize again for missing today. Obviously, not something I wanted to do on the first day. And I realized the great challenge of learning a brand new sugya on a brand new topic that you've never seen before in your entire lives is great enough to compound it by trying to do it at night after a long day is even worse. But bear with me, okay? We're gonna start learning some of the Tefillin Sugyos and Menachos. Now, the Tefillin Sugyos and Menachos primarily appear starting on Daf Lamed Daled, and that's where you get into real issues of Tefillin. But part of the idea of what we're trying to do over here is to expose you to sugyas that are lemaisa, that are halach lemaisa, and yet that you probably won't come across otherwise. Certainly not in the regular yeshiva schedule, not in regular yeshiva curriculum. So we're going to touch on a couple of little sugyas that appear on Daf Chaf Tes before we jump to Daf Lamed Daled. And there are actually two very fascinating topics that appear in very close proximity to each other on the bottom of Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about, on the bottom of Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, so the Gemara talks about how the Mishnah actually says, the Mishnah on Chaf Ches, it said that Shtei Parshiyos Shebe Mezuzah are Ma'akvo Zu Azu, Va'afilu Ksav Echod Ma'akvan. That when you're writing a mezuzah, but really this is true of tefillin as well, when you're writing, you have to make sure even a single ksav is ma'akev, can ruin the whole thing. Which means you're writing out the parshios of Shema, let's say, and you leave out, I don't know, the mem of the word Shema. So there, it's puzzle. It's going to be puzzle because you left out a critical letter. Okay, but that makes sense. You don't have the parshios. You're supposed to have the parshios. You're missing a letter. You're not going to have the parshios. So it's not going to be kosher. That we would probably say misvara, because if there is a halacha that you need to have the parshios, you don't have them if you're missing a letter, or even if you have the wrong letter, right? Instead of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, instead of a dalet you have a resh. It says Hashem Acher. That's awful. That's blasphemous. That's terrible. That it says Hashem. So obviously you don't have the parshios. So ask the Gemara, pshita. Obviously your mezuzah or your tefillin or whatever is going to be puzzle if it's missing a letter. In fact, you should know, if you ask people who check tefillin, they'll tell you that of the psulim that they find in parshios of tefillin, something like 90% of them were parshios that were never kosher to begin with. It's very rare, or relatively rare, for a parsha of tefillin to become pasul, because it's locked up in those really good batim, and what's going to happen to them that would make them pasul? But it's much more common that they were pasul to begin with, no one knew how to check them to begin with, and you're all, I know several adults who, in their mid-30s, had their tefillin checked, and it was discovered that it was missing an entire letter from their tefillin. And one of them had his tefillin checked twice every 7 years. Mamish had him checked all the time, and he was 35 years old and discovered that he was never Yotzei the Mitzvah of Tefillin in his entire life, because he had him checked, but by a bad sofer, by someone who said, yeah, they look like nice letters, but didn't actually read through and make sure that they were all there. Okay, so you gotta know who you're going to, but that's beside the point. So it says in Gemara Pshita, obviously if you're missing a letter, you're missing something, that's terrible, of course it's going to be possible. So it says in Gemara two answers. Each answer is its own topic, each answer is its own sugya. One we'll do tonight, one Bez Hashem will do tomorrow. I don't know why I chose to do it backwards, but we're going to do the second one tonight, the first one tomorrow. So first says the Gemara, Amar Avida Marav lo nitzcha ela lekutza shel yud. No, the chiddush of the Mishnah is not that you're missing a letter. Of course if you're missing a letter, it's going to be puzzle. No, the chiddush of the Mishnah is the kutza shel yud, that if somehow there's something called the kutza shel yud, so we're going to have to discuss what that is, some way of writing the yud, where if you write the yud improperly, it's going to ruin it, and it's going to be ki'ilu, the yud isn't there, and therefore it's going to pass the whole thing. We'll get to that tomorrow. Says the Gemara Vanami Pshita. Well, that's also obvious. What's a yud without a kutza shel yud? Which, again, we'll get to tomorrow what in the world that means. But apparently a yud without a kutza shel yud, of course it's terrible. Says Gemara Ella l'ki'idach Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. No, it's teaching us the other chiddush of Rabbi Damarav. Damarav, kol os she'in gevil mukaf la me'arba rucho seha. Any time you have a letter that's not completely surrounded by empty parchment, right, that's not gevil mukaf la me'arba rucho seha, psula, it's going to be possible. That's what it's teaching me. If you're missing one letter, it doesn't mean you're missing a letter. It means that if even one letter is not fully surrounded by parchment, it's puzzled. What does that mean, one letter is not surrounded by parchment? What is it surrounded by then? What's that talking about? So Pashtus is, it's connected to another letter, right? That it's touching another letter. And that's going to puzzle it. So let's take a step back and try to figure out what's going on over here. In general, whenever you discover a new halacha, whenever you find a new halacha in the Gemara, you have to figure out what kind of halacha is this. Is this a din d'oraisa? Is it a din d'rabbanan? Is it a minag? And then you have to find out, if it is a din d'oraisa, let's say, so how do we know it? Is it a svara? Is it a pasuk somewhere that says this? The Gemara is saying something astounding. That not only do you need to have all of the letters in your tefillin, but if any two of the letters are touching each other, that's pasul. That would be a psul. Is that a psul d'araisa or is that a psul d'rabana? What would you say intuitively? What does it sound like? Oh, so we got different opinions here. Why would you say, so now I'm going to ask you, not intuitively, explain, why would you think one way or the other? Just from the discussion in the Gemara over here, what do you say? It's a new halacha, and we don't have any. The Gemara, there's no Shanemar, there's no, right? There's no pasuk. The Gemara doesn't bring any pasuk to prove that this is a problem. So let's take a step back and see. Yeah? Which parshios we put in our Derabbanan? How do you know that? That's quite a chiddush also, to assume that, that what? On a Daraisa level, we could just put in whatever we want? You got to learn through the sugyas, not so pashut. Probably you need to put in those parshios midaraisa, and probably this is a din daraisa. Yeah. Ooh, okay. So now, let's go back to the original halacha that the Gemara quoted. The original halacha that the Gemara quoted that the Gemara said is pshita. And whenever you see that word, you have to say, well, why is it so obvious? You know, I was just at a levaya today for Rabbi Maurice Lamb, Zichrono Levracha. Rabbi Maurice Lamb, I'm not going to spend too much time talking about him, but he was a very successful rabbi. He was a rabbi of the largest shul on the West Coast in Beverly Hills, and he wrote a book that probably, other than the Bible, is the highest-selling Jewish book of halacha. Certainly in the last century or two, he sold 750,000 copies of his book on the laws of Avelis, the Jewish way in death and mourning. Phenomenal person. So he happened to have somehow landed in North Woodmere and ended up davening in my shul for the last 12 years. So I once asked him to critique my drushas. And, you know, I thought he would like them, you know, because he came over to me every Shabbos. Great job, great job. So I said, can like you sit down with me and like give me a critique? He's like, you sure you want that? I said, yeah, why not? And he really gave it to me. So I sat down with him, and the first thing he said, you quoted something, and you said, there's a famous medrash. He says, how does the guy who never heard of that medrash feel when you say that? He said, you should try to make people somewhat uncomfortable. Give a mussar that, like, you know, pushes the envelope a little bit where people are, like, just bothered enough to make it something that they think about beyond the few minutes that you're talking or the many minutes that you're talking. But don't make people feel small, right? When you see the word pshita, It's obvious. Why is it obvious? What's so obvious over here? Oh, if it's missing a letter, then it's obviously problematic. You know, if let's say they do like these games, you could read a sentence and there will be strategically letters taken out and you won't even notice that there are letters missing because you're so used to reading words just by recognizing some of the letters that like you wouldn't even realize that a letter is missing sometimes when you read. So I could figure out what's written in that parsha. I've seen the parsha of Shema enough times that if you pull out one letter, or just a little one, from the middle of the parsha, you would know exactly what it means to say. Why is it so obvious that if it's missing a letter, it's a problem? So what's the pshita? So says Rashi, pshita da'os achas ma'akavtan, d'chsiv uksavtam, ksiva tama. Because the pasuk says uksavtam and the Gemara darshins Mesach Shabbos that you need a ksiva tama, you need a complete writing, and the writing is obviously incomplete if you don't have all the letters, and that makes sense. That's very logical. Is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? That's obviously d'oraisa. It's a drasha from pasuk, and it's obviously incomplete if you don't have all the letters. So the Gemara says that's obvious. So the Gemara suggests two other possibilities of what this might mean, that Osachas, either Kutzo Shel Yud, or this din of Mukaf Kevil. Are these halachos also halachos of Ksivatama? Meaning, are these halachos also ways of showing that it's also an incomplete way of writing? Or is it saying that no, Ksivatama, that's obvious. I know you need Ksivatama. But the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even if you have Ksivatama, there's an additional psul of letters touching each other. Or, more accurately put, of being Mukaf Kvil. Not abundantly clear from the Gemara which way to look at that. Whether this is a problem of Ksivatama. Now, why would it be a problem of Ksivatama? What's incomplete about it when letters are touching each other? Or even both letters are so complete, they even have a little extra ink that connects them. They're super complete. What makes them incomplete when letters are touching each other? How could it be Ksivatama? Why? You're right there. Why? Why does the ink have to end at a certain point? Why? Otherwise
it's not the letter.
Otherwise it's not the letter. Meaning, what defines the end of a letter is the borders of the letter. Right. Once, meaning, if you have two letters that are touching each other, it's not that you have this letter and this letter that happen to be touching each other. It now becomes one big letter that's unrecognizable. And that's not any of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet.
What if it's at the end of the parchment?
Oh, very good. What if the letter is not touching another letter, but it's not Mukaf Kevil? It comes right to the edge of the parchment. Is that going to be a problem also? Is there a din that you need to have Mukaf Kevil? Or is a psul negia one letter to another letter? So that may depend on what the issue is. If it's a Ksivatama issue, the end of the parchment would be a really good way to end it also. Right? That would also be a border. So the end of the parchment should be fine. If it were a Ksivatama issue. But if it's some other issue that somehow the gevil around the letter becomes like part of the letter, meaning just as the shape of the letter is critical to the letter itself, part of the din of the Ksiva is to make sure that there's gevil around it because that is part of the letter, well then if you get to the end of the parchment, you have a problem also. So that's one chakira to think about. What the Achronim all point to when they discuss this sugya, and we'll see how deeply we get into it, but we'll try a little bit. What they discuss is that chakira, is it a psul negias os, or a chiyuv of having hakafas kevil? It's a psul of having one letter touch another letter, or is it a chiyuv that you need to be mukaf kevil? And the other chakira they talk about is whether this is a din in ksivas os, or is this a din in Hilchostam. What does that mean, Hilchostam? Hilchostam are the halachos of Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Meaning, when a letter touches another letter, does that mean that, let's say you have a tough touching a mem, right, Uchsaftam, a tough touching a mem at the end of the... So, does that mean you have neither a tough nor a mem? You don't have the os that you're supposed to have? Or no, you have both. You have the tough and you have the mem. You have everything you need to have. But there's a special din in Ksivas Stam, in writing Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, that you have to have the letters separated. That it's not a din in that the letter is not there, that there's no letter. No, the letters are there. It's just part of the halachos of Ksivas Stam is that you need the letters to be separated from each other. L'may nafkamina, let's say you're writing something that's not a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, and the letters are touching each other. Is that kosher? Well, what could you write that would need to be kosher that's not a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, or Mezuzah?
A get.
There's a din of Ksivas Aget. And that's a din d'araisa. The Kasav La Sefer Krisos. There's a din Ksiva. But it's not Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. It has totally different halachos. You know, they write a get on a regular piece of paper. Any of you ever seen a get? You ever seen? When we learned Gittin in Yeshiva, my brother happens to be a Masada Gittin. He lives in Palo Alto, California, so he's got to do everything because it's not like there are a million rabbis there. So he's a moel and Masada Gittin, and he built the Erev and the Mikveh, and he knows everything. He's not a shochet though, so they have no meat, but he does a lot of other things. So when we were learning Gittin in Yeshiva, I asked him to send me a bunch of Gittin, So he sent me like, I don't know, 5-6 gittin. So I showed it around the shir. You should at least see what a get looks like when you're living gittin. But it doesn't have to be written on parchment. The Beis Din keeps the get. They give the woman a letter from the Beis Din that verifies that she had received the get. So by a get, do you need this? Is there this psul of osios touching each other and not being mukaf kvil? So this is actually, it's a significant discussion in the Rishonim. But let's start with this. Many of the Rishonim understand. Tosos and Maseches Gittin Daf Chav. Did I put that on the Marmokomos?
Yeah.
Tosos and Maseches Gittin on Daf Chav. And other Rishonim understand that this is a din in Ksiva Tama. Ksiva Tama Uchsaftim is a din in Ksiva Stam. It's a din in writing Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah. There's no Uchsaftim by Get. It's just the Kasav of the Sefer Krisos. There's no Chiyuv of Ksiva Tama by a Get. And Mimela, it would turn out that by a Get, this would not be a problem. Right? That's what Tosfos writes. Nevertheless, the Rishonim point out that the minig is to be machmir, even by a get, because when one letter touches another letter, it's einu nikeres. You can't recognize what those letters are, which is phenomenal. Meaning what they're essentially saying is, we had a chakira. What's the din? Why is it that two letters can't touch each other? Is it because they become unrecognizable when they're touching each other and it's just like one big letter and that's not any of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet when they're touching each other? Or is it because part of the chiyuv of ksiva by writing stam is to have gvil around it? So by a get, you need to have recognizable letters, you need to know what it says, but you don't need to have the dinim of ksiva stam. That's exactly the point that Tosfos makes. Tosfos says, by a get, really, really, me'ikar adin, it should be fine if letters touch each other as long as they're recognizable. But we try not to do that because we're afraid they're not going to be recognizable. And if they're not recognizable, then you just don't have the letters that you need. Then the whole get's obviously not going to be good if it's not recognizable. Beis Yosef in Siman Lamed Beis, I think I put this on the Maror Mekomos as well, quotes from a Rash that's quoted in the Mordechai that the din of Hekev Kevil only applies to the osios of Hashem, the osios of the Shem Hashem. And all the other letters don't need to be Mukav Kevil. What's the svara for that? Meaning he rejects it. He says, we don't hold that way. We hold all the letters have to be Mukaf Kavil. What would the svara be that only the osios of Shem Hashem?
An osios of Kedusha.
Meaning Shem Hashem is elevated Kedusha. But why this halacha? Is it because we don't care if you recognize? Is it a din hakaras osios? You don't care if you recognize all the other letters, if those are actual Hebrew characters. But the Shem Hashem, we care? I would think we care about the whole Torah, that they be, and the whole Tefillin and Mezuzah, that they be Hebrew characters.
We care more about Shem Hashem as opposed to the other letters.
Clearly we do. The question is why. I mean, let's think in the construct that we were thinking of. We have two possibilities, two broad possibilities. Either you need to have Mukaf Kvil because if the letters are touching each other, it's like a brand new character. It's not a Tuf, it's not a Mem, it's a Tamem. Right, and then that's nothing, and that's not a letter. Right, or the problem is that there's a din in writing, stam, in writing Sefer Torah Tefillah Mezuzah, that you're supposed to do it beautifully. And the way to do it beautifully is to make sure there's gvil around it. Which of these svaros fits that shita, that it only applies to the Shem Hashem? If we're about recognition of the letters, it has to be the second, right? If it's about recognition of the letters, then it shouldn't only apply to Shem Hashem. You have to recognize all the letters. All the letters have to make sense. You can't just make them new characters and put like Chinese characters in the Sefer Torah or in your tefillin or in your mezuzahs. But if it's about Hidur, it could be that we're more makpid on the Hidur of the Ksivas Shem Hashem. Not just about Hidur. If it's about Ksivas Stam, that when you're writing Sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzahs, you got to do it right. So it could be that there's a svara to be more makbid that it be done right and it be done beautifully by Ksiva Shem Hashem. Just one moment. Why would I say the writing Shem Hashem where we'd be more makbid on the Hidr? In general, Hidr Mitzvah, where do I know Hidr Mitzvah from? Zekeli Vanvei. The Gemara says Mesach Shabbos, Parakobaz Mila, Kuflam Beis, right? Zekeli Vanvei was not Lufan of B'mitzvahs. That when we're crossing the Yamsuf and even the Shivcha Layam looks and says, whoa, Zekeli Vanvei, this is my God and I will, depending which translation, build him a sanctuary, glorify him, or whatever. Vanvehu. So we say, oh, no, Vanvehu means Hisna Elefan of B'mitzvos. But Zekeli, when I'm pointing to Hashem, that's where there needs to be a special elevated sense of Hidur. So you could hear this Svara, even though the Beis Yosef rejects Al Halacha, but you could hear this Svara that we're Dafka Makbid by these letters if it's a din in Ksiva Stam. That when you're writing, not a get, because a get doesn't have to be beautiful. But when you're writing stam, you want to have beautiful stam, you want to have beautiful Sefer Torah, beautiful tefillin, beautiful mezuzahs. So you need to be especially makbid on the Shemos Hashem in those Sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs. Yeah, Avram, sorry, I shut you down.
Oh, no, in terms of like the opinions that hold, like you need to have, because it's not actually a letter, like the Rosh, whatever, what would they say about a get?
So if it's not actually a letter, then a get l'chora should be a problem.
Even though it's not mentioned at all in Shidur
Hashba. Right. So meaning this
get has no very low stake.
Right. Well, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Yeah. Because those words make up the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah. I mean, you're saying this Shita and Rishonim that's only worried about the Shem Hashem, why is the Shem Hashem more part of the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah than the rest of the letters? It's not more a part, I hear what you're saying, it's not more a part of the Chafetz Shel Mitzvah, but it is a more critical part. I mean, it's just like on an Esrog, right? There are parts of the Esrog where certain types of discoloration are going to passel, and on other parts of the Esrog, it's not like the top third, the part where it curves up, so that's where it starts getting very serious. And stuff at the bottom is not as impactful. Because there are more important elements, parts of a Chafetz Shel Mitzvah that will highlight over other parts.
If it's just a din in not being a letter, if it's combined, why wouldn't that also be shot then as Pshita and therefore?
Well, because it's not as obvious that it's not a letter.
No, it's not.
Right.
That.
Meaning that's the Chiddush of this din, yeah.
Yeah, we're saying that by stam, that we're saying that there's a concept of monthly field by stam and not by a get. Now we're saying according to Mordechai, it's just by Shem Hashem. So according to Mordechai, we said it's just by Shem Hashem. Does he look as Siva stam?
Which, by the way, it's obviously not by a get then, according to Mordechai, because there is no Shem Hashem.
Why? So what's the difference between Siva stam and Siva get if he just holds just about Shem Hashem?
No, you obviously don't need it for Ksiva's get, and even for most of Stam you don't need it. You only need it when you're writing the Shem Hashem.
The Shem Hashem in Stam.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the Rishonim discuss the Sugya Maseches Gittin to try to figure out whether you need this din of Hekev Kavil by get. That Sugya, that Tosfos that I gave you is going on. Now, there's a Rebbe in YU, Rabbi David Hirsch. Anyone know him? David Hirsch is a fairly intense character. So when Big Talmud Chacham also, when I was in 11th grade, I was in Rabbi Hecht's shir, an MTA, and Rabbi Hecht went to Israel for like 2 weeks, and Rabbi Hirsch took over our shir. And he was learning in the Kollel at the time in YU, and I'll never forget this. He walked into the shir room. We were learning Pesachim that year. He walked in with a big Gemara Pesachim. He slammed it down on the desk. We had no idea who this guy was. He walks into the Lentic classroom empty, slams it down on the desk. He says, "I got one rule. You're going to be a shas man or you're going to be a dead man. Now let's learn." And we were just like, we had no idea what had hit us, what was about to hit us. But one of the things, he assigned us to prepare a Tosfos or something. So we were struggling with the Tosfos. And he said, Tosfos quotes a Gemara over there. So what did the Gemara say? So I said, "I don't know, I didn't see the Gemara." He said, "When Tosfos quotes a Gemara, you better learn that whole perek." That was so a few klalim that I learned from Rav David Hirsch. So if you ever watch him and Rabbi Simon interact, that's a treat also, because like exact opposite personalities. So, anyway, the Tosos over there is dealing with the Gemara. What does the Gemara say over there? So the Gemara over there talks about, Gemara is a suffix. Rav Papa is a suffix over there. If a guy gives a get to his wife, but he decides he's going to, you know, pull some shtick, so he says, I'm giving you the ksav of this get, but not the paper that's in between the lines of the get. Meaning all the paper that's in between, you know, I'm trying to save paper, I've been printing out things on both sides and everything, you know. So the lines in between, that I'm not giving, that I'm not being makna to you. Is that as if he wasn't makna her the niyar at all, the paper at all, and she's enim gresheus because all she got is osios porchos pavir? She's got some floating letters that he's given to her? Or do we assume that since the paper that the letters are written on, meaning the paper under the letters themselves, are kanoila, being given to her, it's just the paper in between that's not being given to her, so that's good enough. She doesn't have osios porchos pavir, she has the osios with the paper that's directly underneath those osios, just not in between the lines. So that's the Gemara suffix, strange suffix, right? So the Gemara says, well, in general, when you give a get, can you do something like this? You want to drive the obviously the marriage isn't working out. So he's making her crazy, right? So he decides when he gives her a get, he's going to give her one letter of the get each day. Like he'll write on a piece of paper, hey, and give it to her. The next day, resh, give it to her. The next day, yud, give it to her. Hare, at, magreshasli, or whatever. He's going to just keep giving her one letter at a time. So the halacha is that's no good. You're not allowed to do that. Because the pasuk says, because of la sefer grisos, and the Gemara Darshan sefer echad amarachmana v'lo harbe svarim. Right? You can only give one sefer, not shnayim shlosha svarim. You can't give more than one. You can't give a get in more than one shot. Right? That's what the Gemara says over there. So the Gemara says, so anyway, if he's not giving her the paper in between the lines, shouldn't it automatically be problematic anyway? Because it's like he's giving her line by line separately, right? He's like giving her, there are 12 lines in a get, for Tzaisis and Gittin, there are the gematria of get, Gimel Tes, 12 lines. So that's the minhag. So he's giving her 12 separate Gittin, really, right? If he's not giving her the paper in between the lines. So the Gemara says, no. He's not giving her 12 separate gittin because the letters sometimes stick out in between, you know, stick out below the level of the line. Like what? Like a letter kuf, for example, right? Sticks out below. So if you have a tes in the line below and a kuf in the line above, the leg of the kuf might go into the tes, right? And then it'll be like that. And therefore, even if he's not being makner the paper in between the lines, it's still connected because it's connected by that little. And each line, he can work that out that he's got something sticking in between the airspace of another letter. Somehow he figures out how to arrange that. That's what the Gemara says, and that's why it's only one get. So the Rishonim look at that and say, "Oh, you see from there whether a get needs to be mukaf kevil or not. How do you see from there? What is that?" What does that prove to you? So Tosos over there writes in the name of the Rivan that you see that a get doesn't have to be Mukaf Kavil. Because that's a violation of Mukaf Kavil. Wow. It's a violation. Nothing's touching each other. There's no letter, there's no ink touching other ink. Right? What's happening? The leg of the kuf is sticking in the airspace of the tes. It's not on it, it's in between. And Tosfos says, no, but that would be a violation of Mukaf Kavil. And therefore, you see, by a get, we don't care about violations of Mukaf Kavil. What's the lumdus? Why is Tosfos assuming that's a violation? I would have said that's not at all a violation of Mukaf Kavil. There are borders around the leg of the kuf, right? It's not actually touching. Why is that a violation of Mukaf Kavil? But that's what Tosfos writes in the name of the Rivan. And then the Re says, no, that's not a right at all. Because it could be that there is Hekav Kavil. Let's say the top of a Lamed enters into the bottom of a Hey, or the bottom of a Ches, or something like that. So that's still Mukaf Kavil, that's okay. Meaning there's a Machlokas in the Balei Atosos, is this a violation of Mukaf Kavil or not? When it's not actually ink touching ink, but it's letters encroaching on each other. Now, what would you say? What's the lumdus of that machlokas? What's the svara of that machlokas? In terms of what the psul of mukaf kiel is.
Is it about recognizing him or is it about hitter?
So how would you say? If it's about recognizing...
They're not touching, you can see what it is.
Oh, they're not touching, you can see very clearly what they are, what they're meant to be. So it sticks in a little bit into the other one. But if it's about hidur...
And it goes into like the space of the next letter, it doesn't look like...
That's a violation of hidur, right? That would be a break in the hidur if it's... They're bunched so much that they're actually encroaching into each other's territory. That may be a violation of hidur, of ksivatama.
Does Gen need hidur mitzvah?
Oh, so if it's a din ksivatama, then we wouldn't have a problem with the get anyway.
Yes, well, we wouldn't have a problem anyway.
Right. Well, what Tosa's arguing about is this din of mukaf kavil relevant? Ah, I mean, you're saying if it's a din in hidur,
then you would never.
Right, but we're using this as a right. Okay, so we're working with assumptions to apply. Yeah, but it seems that could be the lumdus of the machlokas. I mean, you're saying it's like a little circular because you wouldn't even begin once you're already conceptualizing it that way. You would have never applied it to a get to begin with. The Ramban writes that of course a get doesn't need mukaf kavil because a get doesn't even need to be written on cloth, like we said, and it doesn't need special ink like you need for a Sefer Torah. So why would it need mukaf kavil? What's he saying?
It's not an issue of recognition.
It's clearly not an issue of recognition. He starts quoting all of Hilchos Stam. You don't need, to be a sofer and have like animal hide parchment. And what does that have to do with mukaf kavil? What the Ramban is clearly assuming is mukaf kavil is another din in Hilchos Stam. It's not a din in the recognition of the letters. And then the Ramban says, unbelievable, one line after the next. Then the Ramban says, and besides, on a get you can write it in another language if you want. You don't even need Hebrew characters on a get, so of course you don't need mukaf kavil. What's that saying? You don't even need Hebrew characters, so of course you don't need mukaf kavil. What's he saying?
Mukaf kavil only applies by...
You understand that as Hilchas Stam issue? Why?
Since you don't need letters, there's no issue with it.
Okay, so that, I'm asking. He might just be continuing the Hilchas Stam, that Hilchas Stam requires Hebrew letters. But I thought you could also say, at that point he's saying, if you don't need Hebrew characters, you don't need to recognize them as Hebrew characters, as long as you know what it's trying to say. As long as you can figure out, what the get is trying to communicate, even if you don't recognize all the characters, that's fine. But he's focusing on the din of recognizing the characters in that line. Those are the two suggestions of the Ramban.
You could also just say it's clearly another option there, which is that it's within Hilchos Stam, right? That, clearly there's no special writing or anything.
Right. So that's, that it's also in Hilchos Stam. Yeah, but correct. Now, in the Masifta over here in Menachos, he quotes a Beis Halevi al Torah. I didn't have a chance to look it up. Beis Halevi al Torah apparently has a kuntrus be'inyon eno mukav kevil. Does anyone know that? Beis Halevi al Torah has a kuntrus about eno mukav kevil. Okay, go figure. Where he says as follows. This Tosos that brings a raya from the Gemara in Gittin that a get doesn't need heck of kevil shows. Let me give some background over here. There is a discussion in Rishonim whether the problem of mukaf kevil is only b'shas ksiva or even la'achar ksiva. What I mean is as follows: let's say you write all the letters perfectly fine and they're each separate from each other. And then you decide, it would be so much nicer if it was like script, where like the letters touched each other. So you go back to it later, and you add like a little curvature to connect the letters to each other. Is that a psul of mukaf kevil? I mean, do we say that, when you wrote it, and you created a kasher chefter shel mitzvah, it was a kasher mezuzah, each letter stood on its own, and it was all mukaf kevil, and it was all good, right? So when you wrote it, it was all good, so that's... That was kosher, and then when you connect it later, it's not enough to passel it when you connect it later. Or do you say no? If at the end of the day you're left with the tefillin or mezuzah, sefer Torah, where all the letters are connected to each other, that's possible. Ah, so what's the avmina for the what's the svara for the first approach? Ah, uksavtam is ksiva tama. Not that the cheftza has to be tama, but the ksiva saosios has to be tama. So when you're writing the osios themselves, that's a ksiva tama. You've written perfect osios. Ah, you've later, extended them or whatever. As long as you still recognize them. Now, if you later blotch them out, so that would be terrible. You later scrape them out where you can't see them. That's terrible. Because that's not just a problem with ksiva tama. You just don't have the letters. You don't even recognize the letters. But if you could still recognize the letters, it's just no longer ksiva tama because they're connected to each other. Well, that's okay, because it's not that you need ksav that is tam, you need to do a maisa ksiva that is tama. And you did the ksiva tama. So this is machlokas rishonim, it's an actual machlokas rishonim. It's based on Rishalmi. Rishalmi has such a svara that you can add later and it's not gonna be a problem. Rishalmi has a different svara also, which bears mentioning. We're gonna run out of time, we're not gonna have a chance to really get into it. Yushalmi has a svara that this din of Mukav Kavil only applies on the top of the letter and the sides of the letter, but not on the bottom of the letter. Where does that come from? Meaning, I have my... pick a letter. Pick a letter. What's your favorite letter? Hey. So I have a hey, right? And at the bottom of the leg of the hey, it's touching the letter beneath it. That hey is perfectly fine. The letter beneath it might be bad, but that letter is perfectly fine. So when I scrape it out, I only have to scrape out the letter beneath it. And it's not a violation of Chak Tochos in this letter. So that letter would be perfectly fine. What's the Svara for that? Yeah, so there's a big discussion that the Bavli probably disagrees with that Yerushalmi. But that's what Yerushalmi says.
Same, when you were Kosi, that letter, that was fine. Later, the next one.
Ah, because when you initially wrote that letter, that was fine, and then it was only when you put the letter underneath it that was the issue, yeah?
The plain Moshe says it's an issue of recognition, that you on top, you won't be able to read it, but on the bottom, you will be able to read it.
Right. That's a difficult svara, though. Right? Mehechi Tesi, that when it's connected at the bottom, it'll be easier to read than when it's connected at the top. It depends how strongly it's connected, what letter it is. Right? It probably depends on a lot of other...
I'm not sure, yeah, but I think that is a svara.
That's a svara. But going back to the Beis Halevi, we'll get back to that Yerushalmi soon. Going back to the Beis Halevi, again, we said this idea that some Rishonim hold that if you add, after you originally wrote a perfectly legal letter, you then add to connect them, that's going to still be okay. Says the Beis Halevi, from Tosos Meseches Gittin, that brings a raya about Mukav Kevil, from the case of the encroaching kuf into the tes, or the encroaching lamed into the hay on top of it. And Tosfos says, oh, look, that's a violation of mukaf kevil. So you see, we don't care about mukaf kevil by a get, says the Beis Halevi. Maybe you do care about mukaf kevil by a get. And that's not a violation of mukaf kevil, because you know how that kuf got encroached into the tes? You wrote a perfectly good kuf first, and then later you went back, and you extended it a little bit down into the letter beneath it. And then everyone would agree that that's fine. I mean, then if you were to hold that extending a letter afterwards is okay, is not a violation of Mukav Kevil, the whole Tosfos makes no sense. Because Tosfos is saying, if the Gemara is going to tell you that it's a kosher get when the kuf is encroaching into the tes, then it must be that we don't care about Mukav Kevil. Not necessarily, says the Beis Halevi. Maybe I do care about Mukav Kevil. But this isn't a violation of Mukav Kevil, because maybe this was created later. Maybe it was written initially properly, and then you extend it a little bit further afterwards. That's the Ha'ara of the Beis Halevi. I just want to spend a couple of minutes, the last few minutes we have on the Yerushalmi. There are a couple of svaras offered for this Yerushalmi. Mordechai quotes Yerushalmi. I put some of the Mordechai there. That Yerushalmi writes, like we said, that if the letters are connected at the bottom, then it's kosher. So what's the svara? So there are two basic approaches, apparently three, but two that I was fully aware of. The Mordechai himself says that when two letters are touching each other, we view the area that's touching as if it's not there, as if it doesn't exist, as if it's erased. On the bottom of a letter, that often doesn't matter. So if your kuf doesn't extend this far down, it only extends that far down, you know, or the legs of your ches are a little shorter than you would normally expect them to be, it's still a ches. But on the top of a letter, it will passel the whole letter. That's the Mordechai's understanding of the Yerushalmi. The Rashba's understanding of the Yerushalmi, in the Tshuva and Siman Tav Reish Yud Aleph, is that the whole psul of mixing the letters is only if the letters were mixed before and this relates to the other comment we had, if the letters were mixed before you finished writing it. But once you finish writing a letter, you can then mix them together. So when they're connected at the bottom, what that meant is, you already finished writing the letter, and then you just continued. So just like you can write a letter, come back to it later and connect it to something else. If while you're writing a letter, you don't pick up the pen, but you finish the tzura of that letter, and you just keep going a little further, that's also not going to possible, because the letter's already there. That happens at the bottom of the letter, because you start writing a letter from the top. So you had the tzura sa'os, and then you just continued the leg of the ches a little further down, and it hit the letter below it. That's okay, because you already had the tzura of the letter first. That's how the Rashba understands Yerushalmi. Now, big nafkamina is between these two understandings. Again, the Mordechai's understanding is, wherever they're connected, you have to view it as if that doesn't exist. And that usually is not going to be a problem on the bottom. The Rashba understands, no, it does exist, but we're not bothered by connections once the letter's already complete. So one nafkamina is, what if you wrote the letter from the bottom to the top? You wrote the letter starting at the bottom. And you connected it right when you started writing the letter. So how would we say? According to the Mordechai, it would be kosher. Why?
It's still a letter,
right? You can still view the touching part as if it's not there, and it's going to be kosher. According to the Rashba, no good. Why is it no good according to the Rashba? Because you didn't have the tzura before you connected it. You started at the bottom and you went up, so you didn't have the tzura before you connected it. Another nafkamina might be, let's say you were so exact in making the letter the bare minimum size it could be. That leg of the kuf, what happens if a leg of a kuf is too short? It's a hey. So let's say it's touching, the leg of the kuf is touching the letter below it, right below where it would have made it a hey. Right below the line where it would have made it a hey. So if you say it like the Mordechai, so we erase that whole area, so then what do you have? You have a hey, and then you have a psul. But if you say like the Rashba, that it only hit it once you already formed the Tzura Sa'os, so maybe you have that. You had the Tzura Sa'os, and then you drew the letter underneath it that connected it. So then it would be okay. So there's several nafkaminas. Now, the challenge is to think about what's the lumdus in this machlokas. Is there any lumdus in terms of the din of mukav kavil in this machlokas? I mean, we were working the whole time. Is it recognition of the letter? Is it a din in stam? Is there a din that you need to be mukav kavil or a din in a psul negiyas ha'os? What's the lumdus of this machlokas? This machlokas of how to understand the Yerushalmi, and even, you know, to back it up, what's the lumdus of the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi? That the Bavli, assuming that the Bavli argues on the Yerushalmi, which almost everyone does, why would the Bavli think that having it connected on the bottom is a problem, and the Yerushalmi think having it connected on the bottom is not a problem? So that's something you gotta work on a little bit. Maybe if we weren't out of time, we would explore that a little bit further. But that's something to give you some food for thought for that. Tomorrow we'll start getting into the Indian of Kutzo Shel Yud. That's all. We'll do the sugya of Kutzah Shel Yud, and then we'll move on to more Nogea topics for people who are not Sofrim. But just thought it's a good way to start.